Welcome to Ballot Battleground Nevada. I'm your host, Ben Marjat, a reporter at KRNV News 4 in Reno. I'm passionate about making politics in this critical battleground state more digestible to the average voter and pushing past the talking points to press politicians for answers. On this show, we take deep dives into the people, ideas, and debates shaping Silver State politics. It's looking like there will be an abortion question on the general election ballot in Nevada this year. It's a topic we've talked about before on this show, but there have been some significant developments, not to mention it's perhaps the issue that Democrats will focus on the most between now and November. So we thought we'd revisit it this week now that the electoral landscape is coming into focus after a major decision for abortion advocates. The Nevada Supreme Court last week ruled that a broad ballot question seeking to enshrine various reproductive freedoms in the state constitution was constitutional. If you want to learn more about that specific effort, go back and listen to episode 7. Groups like Nevadans for Reproductive Freedom, the political action committee behind these proposed ballot questions, have called that ruling a major victory. But instead of starting to gather signatures now, they're opting to go with a more narrow ballot question much further along in the process that cleared the legal challenges months ago. This one is focused on abortion only, and it appears to have more than enough signatures to qualify. That's the focus of this week's episode. If you remember last time we delved into this topic, we didn't get the chance to speak with someone supporting these measures, so we'll do that today with Denise Lopez. She's the director of Nevada Campaigns for Reproductive Freedom for All, formerly known as NARAL Pro-Choice America. Let's get right into our conversation with Denise. Denise, thank you so much for being here in the Ballot Battleground Nevada studio. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. I finally made it. It's my first time here.
First podcast. How exciting. Yeah. Hopefully you're not too nervous, but
I'm not going to lie. I am a little nervous, but I'm happy to be here today with you. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you coming in. And a big topic today, as I mentioned in the intro to this show, which is abortion on the November ballot.
Yes.
It's looking like that's going to happen. Before we get into the ballot question, though, specifically, there's been a lot of confusion since the overturning of Roe v. Wade because a number of states have seen their abortion rights repealed or rolled back. That's not the case in Nevada. So let's just clarify for our listeners here, to what extent is abortion currently protected in the Silver State? Because I think there's some misconceptions about that.
Totally. So in Nevada, in 1990, we passed a referendum which codified Roe versus Wade into our state law. And so we have legal abortion currently in our state because of that. And so I know we have seen the landscape across the country. We're hearing about Texas, Florida. There's I believe over 21 states that have bans and restrictions, but
Arizona, last week.
Some of our neighboring states, Idaho, Utah, but in Nevada, we are fortunate to have the referendum law that still protect us.
And I think some people believe incorrectly that it's in the Constitution already. That's not the case. It's just a regular old Nevada revised statute, right?
Correct. So it's currently not in the Nevada state constitution, which is something that I'm sure we're going to get to, but we are working to enshrine it into the Nevada state constitution.
Gotcha. So that current law, though, as you said, in place since the 1990s, it came out of a state referendum. For those Nevadans that weren't here back then, it passed roughly 63-37%. So a pretty significant margin back in 1990.
That was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's been a while.
Yeah. No, I mean, 30 years. Who knows what it may look like in November, but passed by a huge margin back in 1990. Mm-hmm. And it can only be repealed by another vote of the people. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And that is part of the reason also why when Roe v. Wade was overturned, there was no change to Nevada's abortion landscape, correct?
Correct, yes. And so I think one of the reasons why we want to ensure that we enshrine abortion into the Nevada Constitution, we saw what happened with Roe. We're seeing what's happening in the national landscape. We don't want to take anything for granted. We want to make sure that our abortion rights are protected in the Nevada Constitution because, as we saw with Roe, anything can happen. No one thought that that was going to happen, and then it did. And so now we don't want to take any chances. We want to make sure that Nevadans have access to right to abortion, and that's why we are going through the petition process, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, a little bit more. But we're you know, getting ready to protect abortion rights in the Constitution.
As it stands today, as you mentioned, abortion currently protected in Nevada up to 24 weeks or after if it's for the life or the health of the mother, right? Why do you guys believe that it should be, and you just kind of touched on this, but again, why should this be in the state constitution? It would require two votes of the people to be overturned as opposed to one vote of the people to be overturned just now. Why do you guys feel that this kind of even more permanent protection is needed?
Yeah, we know that 4 in 5 Nevadans support a right to abortion, and we want to give people the opportunity to vote for those rights that they deserve. And so, again, we've seen what's happening in the national landscape. We're seeing what's happening in Idaho. We're seeing what's happening in Utah and Arizona. There are neighboring states, and those restrictions are causing a lot of suffering and pain. We don't want to see that happen here in Nevada. And so we're, fighting. We're going to be fighting tooth and nail to make sure that we get it into the Constitution, because Nevadans deserve the right to abortion and reproductive freedom in general.
A little off topic, but yeah, you mentioned these neighboring states, Idaho, Arizona, Utah as well, that we're surrounded by. Is Nevada kind of a safe harbor right now, if you will, for some of those communities that butt up to our neighboring states when it comes to abortion?
In the region, we are a provider because we know what's happening with those neighboring states. And so not only are we providing care to Nevadans, but there are people who are seeking care in our state from those neighboring states. And we want to make sure that they are coming here and getting the care that they deserve.
Last we had heard, Nevadans for Reproductive Freedom had announced that they had gathered over 160,000 signatures.
Correct.
For this.
Yes.
Abortion only initiative petition that's going to be or could be on the November ballot. What's the latest number? What's the latest update on the effort to, you know, submit those signatures soon to the Secretary of State?
Yeah, we have collected 175,000 signatures.
Wow.
Across the state. I've gotten the opportunity to be in Vegas and talk to voters, collect signatures. I've also done it here in Washoe County. I've gotten to talk to people. I also have seen the canvassers out in the community. I'm sure many of you will encounter some of our canvassers
yeah.
at the parks, the grocery stores. My dad actually signed the petition at Legends with one of the canvassers. We were shopping, and someone came up to us, and we signed it. And he's a 70-year-old Latino man, 72 years old. But he understands the need to ensure that we are protecting reproductive freedom. And, he was excited to sign it. And that's what we're encountering, people who are motivated, encouraged, and ready to sign because they care about this issue.
Are you guys still collecting signatures, or is the 175,000, which, you know, by the way, for our listeners, the threshold is around 106,000. So well beyond the threshold. But are you guys continuing to gather more just to kind of have a big buffer?
We're going to continue to collect because we know that people are excited to sign the petition. And we're, well underway to qualify. And so we just want to make sure that we have, we give the opportunity to every Nevadan to sign before we submit the petitions.
And oftentimes what happens is that people, maybe they're traveling, visiting Reno or Vegas from out of state, they mistakenly sign it. Obviously, those signatures are invalid. Other people say something's wrong with their address or whatever. A number of signatures often get thrown out, so important to kind of have a significant buffer, which it seems like you guys will. Remind us when the deadline is to submit those, and then how long it takes to kind of review those to ensure that it will qualify.
Yeah, so the deadline to submit them is June 26th, and so we're still in April. We have time. And it takes about, once we submit them, it takes about 13 days, business days, to qualify it for the petition. And so, we're still out there. You'll see our canvassers talking to voters, registered voters from Washoe County, Clark County, from across the state, making sure that we get their signature and, get them ready for the November ballot.
Yeah, I haven't seen the canvassers asking
you
for
haven't
my
seen?
No, I'm surprised,
wow,
but I guess
okay,
I gotta
I'm
go
shocked.
To Legends and do some more shopping.
Yeah.
Let's kind of operate under the assumption then that this does ultimately have enough signatures to qualify, since it seems like you guys have more than enough as it stands today. Let's move into what specifically the petition is going to ask voters, assuming it qualifies in November. As we have talked about, Nevada's current language protects abortions up to 24 weeks. The language in this one is a little bit different, so I'm just going to read it here straight from, I think, the form that voters are signing. If enacted, this initiative would add a new section to Article 1 of the Nevada Constitution establishing a fundamental individual right to abortion. This initiative enables individuals to make and carry out decisions about matters relating to abortion without interference from state or local governments. If this measure is enacted, the state still may regulate provision of abortion after fetal viability, which is defined in the measure, except where necessary to protect the life or health of the pregnant individual. So it doesn't mention 24 weeks, but it has this other concept of fetal viability. Why don't you explain for our listeners, when is fetal viability? Because it's not a time certain at a certain week point mark, right?
Yeah, I think when we think about pregnancy, like, we know that every pregnancy is different. I mean, you have a kid, you have one kid, right?
Yeah, I have a son, almost two.
And so you know that throughout the process, there's a lot of medical, like prenatal care, there's all these weeks that you're going through. And so I think it's very important to let the medical providers, the pregnant person, and the spouse or loved one decide what is best for women based on the situations that they may encounter. We don't know people's life circumstances. We don't know what they are experiencing. And so we want to make sure that people are able to talk to their medical providers, their loved ones, to make decisions that are best for themselves.
I can imagine, as we get into this election season, critics arguing that by removing the 24 weeks and making it fetal viability, I mean, that could delay abortions until later in pregnancy. Is that right?
Again, I think we respect women, pregnant women or pregnant people, based on the life circumstances that they are in. We want to make sure that people are able to get the care that they deserve based on the circumstances that they are in. I think that's primarily the most important thing, listening to their medical provider, the trusted person, and their loved ones to make decisions that are best for them.
And then I'll read too, because the definition of fetal viability is in there. It says, fetal viability means the point in pregnancy when, in the professional judgment of the patient's treating healthcare practitioner, there is a significant likelihood of the fetus's sustained survival outside the uterus without the application of extraordinary medical measures.
One of the things that I am learning, and I was actually not ready to share, but I am pregnant.
Congratulations. Thank you. Oh my gosh.
And so I'm going through the process, and every single doctor visit that I have, I'm learning a lot. And so this is making me understand the need to really trust women and their medical providers when it comes to making decisions that are best for them. And I think, you know, me going and talking to my partner, like talking to my sister who has two kids, talking to the people that you love and care about, that's the best way that we can ensure that we are protecting women and providing the care that they deserve.
We've got some breaking news here on Battleground Nevada. I'm so happy for you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
When is your due date?
It's in August. Okay. Yeah. And so very exciting. I think for me, this is helping me understand even more the work that we are doing and why it's so critical to ensure that women have the resources, they have the insurance, like have everything that they need, because you know it takes a lot. I mean, you're a dad, went through
absolutely.
It. You didn't have to go through the experience yourself. But I'm sure as a dad, you were showing up to the appointments, and you know how many times it can be scary because you might be hearing news that you don't want to hear, or they're providing information that in the moment, like, you're not fully understanding. A lot of things can be traumatic. And so every single pregnancy is different, and we have to just respect women's pregnant people's decision and their family members.
Let's get into another issue that I've kind of already heard from the other side, which is that Nevada's current law says that only a physician can perform an abortion. This petition says that people have a right to an abortion performed by a qualified healthcare practitioner. Is that defined? Who is considered a qualified healthcare practitioner, and why is that different in this language than physician?
It's a medical professional, and we, again, trust our doctors. We trust our professionals who are providing the care and the information for us. That's when we're showing up to the doctor's appointment. There's people there who have gone through their training. They have all the experience. And so we want to make sure that those who are providing the care are trained, but also that we are able to provide the service that is needed.
What would you say to a Nevada voter, and maybe you've encountered this voter when you're trying to get signatures for this petition, who says it's already protected in state law, it takes another vote of the people to be overturned, and as of now, there's no effort to put something on the ballot to overturn the 1990 referendum. It's already protected. Why would we need this in the Constitution?
Yeah, we saw what happened with Roe. We were reassured. We felt comfortable. It was in the Constitution. We didn't think things were going to change. And now we are seeing that, you know, things have changed. And so we want to make sure that we do have protections, a layer of added protections for Nevadans. It's crucial that we are ensuring that folks have access to full reproductive care in our state.
A little bit off topic, but wanted to ask this too, because there was this other measure that has to deal with reproductive freedoms, right? It was more broad. It would have enshrined several reproductive freedoms into the state constitution, not just abortion, but IVF, postpartum care, vasectomy care, birth control, and more. And there was a favorable for you guys ruling that came out of the Supreme Court allowing that broader question to go forward. And Nevadans for Reproductive Freedom has said, we're going to stick with this abortion-only measure. First, what was your reaction to hearing that if advocates wanted to go this direction, you could put this broader question to the voters? And why the decision to go with this more narrower abortion question?
Yeah, I think it was a resounding victory, and it really helps build momentum for us as we're trying to lock reproductive freedom into the Constitution, Nevada Constitution. And I think this decision also recognizes that reproductive freedom includes all reproductive care, prenatal, birth control, fertility treatment, abortion, all these things are reproductive health care. And so this this decision recognizes that. And while we have decided to go with the alternative language for the second petition that focuses on abortion access, we're still fully committed to making sure that in Nevada's state laws that we are still expanding access to reproductive care.
Is that just a timeline concern? Because as we sit here today, late April, you have to get all the signatures by June. I mean, was there just not enough time left?
We wanted to make sure that we were reaching Nevadans and collecting signatures to qualify the petition. And we're currently at 175,000 signatures. We are still trying to reach as many Nevadans. We want people to have the opportunity to sign the petition before we are able to submit it.
Is the goal just as many signatures as you can get, or you get to a certain number and then turn them in?
We want to be able to reach as many signatures. Our goal was 200,000. And so we're trying to collect and talk to as many people, get started before we have to submit them.
And we'll point out for our listeners, you have to collect a certain number, 26,000 or so.
25,000.
25,000, thank you. Signatures from each of Nevada's four congressional districts. So that's spread all throughout the state, northern Nevada, southern Nevada, and in the rurals. I mean, have you guys been doing the canvassing in all parts of the state, including the rural areas?
I don't have the congressional by district information, but we have been talking to people across the state. we, again, I've been to Clark County, Washoe. I've encountered people in Washoe from Carson City. And so it's just been very exciting to talk to people and hear their stories. Many people that we talk to start sharing their experience of, you know, what has happened to them, especially some of the older folks can't believe that we are here. And especially with the national landscape that we're seeing with the overturning of Roe, with the other states, surrounding states, and the restrictions and bans that they're seeing. And then with the younger folks that we're talking to, they are concerned about what does this mean for them, when, especially once they graduate college? Like, do they want to prioritize where they're going based on employment or based on what access exists for reproductive care in their state? And so a lot of the conversations we're having are very insightful and are also, you know, motivating people to show up at this election cycle to support reproductive freedom champions.
And to be sure, this would need to pass twice to take effect, right?
Correct.
2024 and 2026?
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. So this is the first phase. We are collecting the signatures and voting on it in November. And then we would have to do the same in 2026.
So barring something unforeseen where a huge number of these signatures are invalidated, it's looking like this abortion-only ballot question will be on the ballot in November. Surely there will be a lot of money spent on it and a lot of time to talk about this question between now and November, but we wanted to start the conversation early and kind of set the landscape. So thank you so much for coming into the studio today, Denise.
Yes.
We really appreciate it. And for the big announcement, that was unexpected. That was
I know. I did talk about it with my partner. So
okay,
this is not.
I was going to say, hopefully it's out there on social media and everything already.
No, not okay. Yet. We're trying to make sure that we are, you know, keeping it, I guess now not private.
Yeah.
but we wanted to make sure that we were reassured.
Sure.
And then we were going through the doctor's appointments and making sure that everything was fine before we were ready to share. And so this might be news for some people.
Yeah, no, this is great. Happy for you. And I really appreciate you coming on. Best
of
luck.
Thank you.
As you go through the fun journey of
yes.
pregnancy and then the journey of this election cycle as well. We'll have to have you back sometime.
Of course. Yeah, I'm happy to be back anytime.
If you listened all the way to the end, I genuinely appreciate it. Especially this far out from the election, for those of you that are paying this close attention to politics, we appreciate you and we want to hear from you. If you have guest ideas, episode ideas, questions, comments, compliments, concerns, anything at all, feel free to shoot us an email to bjmargiott, my last name, M-A-R-G-I-O-T-T, at sbgtv.com with ballot Battleground Nevada in the subject line. And if you do have a specific question, we're doing an upcoming mailbag episode. So a question about this show, why we're doing it, a Nevada-specific political question, a policy about a candidate, campaign finance, a specific rule in Nevada politics, really anything at all, drop us an email or comment on our upcoming social media posts because we want to do that mailbag episode soon and we want to hear from you. Also, if you have a minute, we'd really appreciate it, as always, if you left a rating and a review. That helps the podcast show up higher in searches so more people can discover our show. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week.